2. One problem solved. I needed to write it anyway. From Oathbringer, Preface.
Stop! What do you think you're doing?
Aelin Colin strode over to a group of workers in creme-stained work outfits who were unloading boxes from the back of a wagon. Their chawl twisted, trying to search out rock buds to munch on. Fruitlessly. They were deep within the tower, for all the fact that this cavern was as large as a small town. The workers had the decency to look chagrined, though they probably didn't know what for. A flock of scribes trailing Adolin checked the contents of the wagon. Oil lamps on the ground did little to push back the darkness of the enormous room, which had a ceiling that went up 4 stories.
Brightlord?
One of the workers asked, scratching at his hair beneath his cap.
I was just unloading. That's what I think I was doing.
Manifest says beer,
Rushu, a young ardent, told Adolin.
Section 2,
Adolin said, wrapping the knuckles of his left hand against the wagon. Taverns are being set up along the central corridor with the lifts, 6 crossroads inward. My aunt expressly told your High Lords this. The men just stared at him blankly.
I can have a scribe show you. Pick these boxes back up.
The men sighed, but started reloading their wagon. They knew better than to argue with the son of a high prince. Adolin turned to survey the deep cavern, which had become a dumping ground for both supplies and people. Children ran past in groups. Workers set up tents. Women gathered water at the well in the center. Soldiers carried torches or lanterns. Even axe hounds raced this way and that. 4 entire war camps full of people had frantically crossed the shattered plains to Uarthiru, and Navani had struggled to find the right spot for them all. For all the chaos, though, Adolin was glad to have these people. They were fresh. They hadn't suffered the battle with the Parshendi, the attack of the assassin in white, and the terrible clash of 2 storms. The Colin soldiers were in terrible shape. Adolin's own sword hand was wrapped and still throbbing, his wrist broken during the fighting. His face had a nasty bruise, and he was one of the more lucky ones.
Brightlord,
Rushu said, pointing at another wagon.
That looks like wines.
Delightful, Adolin said. Was nobody paying attention to Aunt Navani's directives?
He dealt with this wagon, then had to break up an argument among men who were angry they had been set to hauling water. They claimed that was parchment work, beneath their non. Unfortunately, there were no parchmen any longer. Adolin soothed them and suggested they could start a water hauler's guild if forced to continue. Father would approve that for certain, though Adolin worried. Would they have the funds to pay all these people? Wages were based on a man's rank, and you couldn't just make slaves of men for no reason. Adolin was glad for the assignment to distract him. Though he didn't have to see to each wagon himself, he was here to supervise, he threw himself into the details of the work. He couldn't exactly spar, not with his wrist in this shape, but if he sat alone too long, he started thinking about what had happened the day before. Had he really done that? Had he really murdered Toril Sadius? It was almost a relief when at long last a runner came for him, whispering that something had been discovered in the corridors of the 3rd floor. Adolin was certain he knew what it was. Dalinar heard the shouts long before he arrived. They echoed down the tunnels. He knew that tone. Conflict was near. He left Navani and broke into a run, sweating as he burst into a wide intersection between tunnels. Men in blue, lit by the harsh light of lanterns, faced off against others in forest green. Anger spren grew from the floor like pools of blood. A corpse with a green jacket draped over the face lay on the ground.
Stand down,
Dalinar bellowed, charging into the space between the 2 groups of soldiers. He pulled back a bridgeman who had gotten right up in the face of one of Sadius's soldiers.
Stand down or I'll have you all in the stockade, every man.
His voice hit the men like storm winds, drawing eyes from both sides. He pushed the bridgeman toward his fellows, then shoved back one of Sadius's soldiers, praying the man would have the presence of mind to resist attacking a high prince. Navani and the scout stopped at the fringes of the conflict. The men from Bridge 4 finally backed down one corridor, and Sadius's soldiers retreated up the one opposite, just far enough that they could still glare at one another.
"You'd better be ready for damnation's own thunder,"
Sadius's officer shouted at Dalinar.
"Your men murdered a High Prince." "We found him like this,"
Teft of Bridge 4 shouted back.
"Probably tripped on his own knife. Serves him well, the storming bastard." "Teft, stand down,"
Dalinar shouted at him. The bridgeman looked abashed, then saluted with a stiff gesture. Dalinar knelt, pulling the jacket back from Sadius's face.
"That blood is dried. He's been lying here for some time."
"We've been looking for him," said the officer in green.
"Looking for him? You lost your High Prince?"
"The tunnels are confusing," the man said. "They don't go natural directions. We got turned about and..."
"Thought he might have returned to another part of the tower," a man said. "We spent last night searching for him there. Some people said they thought they'd seen him, but they were wrong, and..."
"And a High Prince was left lying here in his own gore for half a day," Dalinar thought. "Blood of my fathers."
"We couldn't find him," the officer said, "because your men murdered him and moved the body."
"That blood has been pooling there for hours. Nobody moved the body,"
Dalinar pointed.
"Place the High Prince in that side room there and send for Iole if you haven't. I want to have a better look."
Dalinar Kolin was a connoisseur of death. Even since his youth, the sight of dead men had been a familiar thing to him. You stay on the battlefield long enough and you become familiar with its master. So Satius's bloodied, ruined face didn't shock him. The punctured eye, smashed up into the socket by a blade that had been rammed into the brain. Fluid and blood had leaked out, then dried. A knife through the eye was the sort of wound that killed an armored man wearing a full helm. It was a maneuver you practiced to use on the battlefield. But Sadius had not been wearing armor, and had not been on a battlefield. Dalinar leaned down, inspecting the body lit by flickering oil lanterns as it lay on the table.
"Assassin,"
Navani said, clicking her tongue and shaking her head.
"Not good."
Behind him, Adolin and Renarin gathered with Shallan and a few of the bridgemen. Across from Dalinar stood Calami. The thin, orange-eyed woman was one of his more senior scribes. They'd lost her husband, Teleb, in the battle against the Voidbringers. He hated to call upon her in her time of grief, but she insisted that she remain on duty. Storms, he had so few high officers left. Kael had fallen in the clash between Everstorm and Highstorm, almost making it to safety. He'd lost Illamar and Perithum to Sadius's betrayal at the tower. The only High Lord he had left was Kahl, who was still recuperating from a wound he'd taken during the clash with the Voidbringers, one he'd kept to himself until everyone else was safe. Even Elokar, the king, had been wounded by assassins in his palace while the armies were fighting at Narok. He'd been recuperating ever since. Dalinar wasn't certain if he would come to see Sadius's body or not. Either way, Dalinar's lack of officers explained the room's other occupants, High Prince Sabariel and his mistress, Polona. Likeable or not, Sabariel was one of the two living High Princes who had responded to Dalinar's call to march for Narok. Dalinar had to rely on someone, and he didn't trust most of the High Princes farther than the wind could blow them. Sabariel, along with Aladar, who had been summoned but had not yet arrived, would have to form the foundation of a new Alethkar. Almighty help them all.
"Well," said Polona, hands on hips as she regarded Sadius's corpse. "Well, I guess that's one problem solved."
Everyone in the room turned toward her.
"What?" she said. "Don't tell me you weren't all thinking it."
"This is going to look bad, Bright Lord," Calami said. "Everyone is going to act like those soldiers outside and assume you had him assassinated."
"Any sign of the Shard Blade?" Dalinar asked.
"No, sir,"
one of the bridgemen said.
"Whoever killed him probably took it."
Navani rubbed Dalinar on the shoulder.
I wouldn't have put it as Pallona did, but he did try to have you killed. Perhaps this is for the best.
No, Dalinar said, voice hoarse. We needed him.
I know you're desperate, Dalinar, Sabariel said. My presence here is sufficient proof of that. But surely we haven't sunk so far as to be better off with Sadius among us. I agree with Pallona. Good riddance.
Dalinar looked up, inspecting those in the room. Sabariel and Pallona, Teft and Sigzel, the lieutenants from Bridge 4, a handful of other soldiers, including the young scout woman who had fetched him. His sons, steady Adolin and impenetrable Renarin. Navani with her hand on his shoulder. Even the aging Calami, hands clasped before her, meeting his eyes and nodding.
You all agree, don't you?
Dalinar asked. Nobody objected.
Yes, this murder was inconvenient for Dalinar's reputation, and they certainly wouldn't have gone so far as to kill Sadius themselves. But now that he was gone, well, why shed any tears?
Memories churned inside Dalinar's head. Days spent with Sadius listening to Gavilar's grand plans. The night before Dalinar's wedding, when he'd shared wine with Sadius at a rowdy feast that Sadius had organized in his name. It was hard to reconcile that younger man, that friend, with the thicker, older face on the slab before him. The adult Sadius had been a murderer, whose treachery had caused the deaths of better men. For those men abandoned during the battle at the tower, Dalinar could feel only satisfaction at finally seeing Sadius dead. That troubled him. He knew exactly how the others were feeling.
Come with me.
He left the body and strode out of the room. He passed Sadius's guards, who hurried back in. They would deal with the corpse. Hopefully, he'd defuse the situation enough to prevent an impromptu clash between his forces and theirs. For now, the best thing to do was get Bridge 4 away from here. Dalinar's retinue followed him through the halls of the cavernous tower bearing oil lamps. The walls were twisted with lines, natural strata of alternating earthy colors like those made by creme drying in layers. He didn't blame the soldiers for losing track of Sadius. It was strikingly easy to get lost in this place, with its endless passageways all leading into darkness. Fortunately, he had an idea of where they were and led his people to the outer rim of the tower. Here he strode through an empty chamber and stepped out onto a balcony, one of many similar ones that were like wide patios. Above him rose the enormous tower city of Urethiru, a strikingly high structure built up against the mountains. Created from a sequence of 10 ring-like tiers, each containing 18 levels, the tower city was adorned with aqueducts, windows, and balconies like this one. The bottom floor also had wide sections jutting out at the perimeter, large stone surfaces, each a plateau in its own right. They had stone railings at their edges, where the rock fell away into the depths of the chasms between mountain peaks. At first, these wide, flat sections of stone had baffled them. But the furrows in the stone and planter boxes on the inner edges had revealed their purpose. Somehow, these were fields. Like the large spaces for gardens atop each tier of the tower, this area had been farmed despite the cold. One of these fields extended below this balcony, two levels down. Dalinar strode up to the edge of the balcony and rested his hands on the smooth stone retaining wall. The others gathered behind him. Along the way, they'd picked up High Prince Aladar, a distinguished bald Alethi with dark tan skin. He was accompanied by May, his daughter, a short, pretty woman in her 20s with tan eyes and a round face, her jet-black Alethi hair worn short and curving around her face. Navani whispered to them the details of Sadius's death. Dalinar swept his hand outward in the chill air, pointing away from the balcony.
What do you see?
The bridgemen gathered to look off the balcony. Their number included the Herdazian, who now had two arms after regrowing the one with Stormlight. Kaladin's men had begun manifesting powers as Windrunners, though apparently they were merely squires. Navani said it was a type of apprentice radiant that had once been common. Men and women whose abilities were tied to their master, a full radiant. The men of Bridge Four had not bonded their own spren, and, though they had started manifesting powers, had lost their abilities when Kaladin had flown to Alethkar to warn his family of the Everstorm.
"What do I see?" the Herdazian said. "I see clouds."
"Lots of clouds," another bridgeman added.
"Some mountains, too,"
another said.
"They look like teeth."
"Nah, horns,"
the Herdazian argued.
"We," Dalinar interrupted, "are above the storms. It's going to be easy to forget the tempest the rest of the world is facing. The Everstorm will return, bringing the Voidbringers. We have to assume that this city, our armies, will soon be the only bastion of order left in the world. It is our calling, our duty, to take the lead."
"Order?" Aladar said. "Dalinar, have you seen our armies? They fought an impossible battle only 6 days ago, and despite being rescued, we technically lost. Royon's son is woefully underprepared for dealing with the remnants of his princedom. Some of the strongest forces, those of Thanadol and Vama, stayed behind in the war camps."
"The ones who did come are already squabbling," Pelona added. "Old Toril's death back there will only give them something else to dissent about."
Dalinar turned around, gripping the top of the stone wall with both hands, fingers cold. A chill wind blew against him, and a few windspren passed like little translucent people riding on the breeze.
"Brightness Calamy," Dalinar said. "What do you know of the desolations?"
"Bright Lord?" she asked, hesitant.
"The desolations. You've done scholarly work on Vorin theory, yes? Can you tell us of the desolations?"
Calamy cleared her throat.
"They were destruction made manifest, Bright Lord. Each one was so profoundly devastating that humankind was left broken. Populations ruined, society crippled, scholars dead. Humankind was forced to spend generations rebuilding after each one. Songs tell of how the losses compounded upon one another, causing us to slide farther each time, until the heralds left a people with swords and fabrials, and returned to find them wielding sticks and stone axes."
"And the Voidbringers?" Dalinar asked.
"They came to annihilate," Calamy said. "Their goal was to wipe humankind from Roshar. They were specters, formless. Some say they are spirits of the dead. Others, spren from damnation."
"We will have to find a way to stop this from happening again," Dalinar said softly, turning back to the group. "We are the ones this world must be able to look to. We must provide stability, a rallying point. This is why I cannot rejoice to find Sadeus dead. He was a thorn in my side, but he was a capable general and a brilliant mind. We needed him. Before this is through, we'll need everyone who can fight."
"Dalinar," Aladar said. "I used to bicker. I used to be like the other high princes. But what I saw on that battlefield, those red eyes. Sir, I'm with you. I will follow you to the ends of the storms themselves. What do you want me to do?"
"Our time is short, Aladar. I name you our new High Prince of Information, in command of the judgment and law of this city. Establish order in Urethiru, and make sure that the High Princes have clearly delineated realms of control within it. Build a policing force and patrol these hallways. Keep the peace and prevent clashes between soldiers like the one we avoided earlier. Sabariel, I name you High Prince of Commerce. Account our supplies and establish marketplaces in Urethiru. I want this tower to become a functioning city, not just a temporary waystop. Adolin,
see that the armies are put into a training regimen. Count the troops we have from all the high princes and convey to them that their spears will be required for the defense of Roshar. So long as they remain here, they are under my authority as High Prince of War. We'll crush their squabbling beneath a weight of training. We control the soulcasters, and we control the food. If they want rations, they'll have to listen.
And us?
The scruffy lieutenant of Bridge 4 asked.
Continue to explore Yuathiru with my scouts and scribes, Dalinar said, and let me know the moment your captain returns. Hopefully he will bring good news from Alethkar.
He took a deep breath. A voice echoed in the back of his mind as if distant.
Unite them. Be ready for when the enemy's champion arrives.
Our ultimate goal is the preservation of all Roshar, Dalinar said softly. We've seen the cost of division in our ranks. Because of it, we failed to stop the Everstorm. But that was just the trial run, the sparring before the real fight. To face the desolation, I will find a way to do what my ancestor, the Sunmaker, failed to do through conquest. I will unify Roshar.
Calame gasped softly. No man had ever united the entire continent. Not during the Shin invasions, not during the height of the Hierocracy, not during the Sunmaker's conquest. This was his task, he was increasingly certain. The enemy would unleash his worst terrors, the Unmade and the Voidbringers. That phantom champion in the dark armor. Dalinar would resist them with a unified Roshar. Such a shame he hadn't found a way to somehow convince Sadeus to join in his cause.
Ah, Toril, he thought. What we could have done together if we hadn't been so divided.
Father?
A soft voice drew his attention. Renarin, who stood beside Shallan and Adolin.
You didn't mention us. Me and Brightness Shallan. What is our task?
To practice, Dalinar said.
Other Radiants will be coming to us, and you two will need to lead them. The Knights were once our greatest weapon against the Voidbringers. They will need to be so again.
Father,
Renarin stumbled over the words.
It's just... me? I can't. I don't know how to... let alone...
Son, Dalinar said, stepping over. He took Renarin by the shoulder.
I trust you. The Almighty and the Spren have granted you powers to defend and protect this people. Use them. Master them. Then report back to me what you can do. I think we're all curious to find out.
Renarin exhaled softly, then nodded.